Amen. I tell you, I am so glad that the Lord has my back and that I've been saved and born again. And you know, that same joy and that same feeling can be yours, and it can be yours today. So as we get ready for the word, I want everybody to just take a moment here. Let's bow our heads and lift this up to the Lord. Father God, we just thank you once again and praise you. For you are who you are, the great I am. The maker of heaven and earth, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. I know Satan tried to stop us, but thank you, Lord, that you made a way. And Jesus, we're praying this morning that hearts will really be moved in a very special way. I have a feeling that someone has come through these doors who really needs to hear this word from you. And I'm thanking you in advance, Lord, for the free gift of salvation that you're about to bestow on this person. And I pray, Lord, that many, many lives will be changed here today, that this word that's going to be given through Reverend Sam will stick with all of us, Lord, that it will transform our lives and make us understand, Lord, that you are God and how much we owe you. And, you know, you take a wretched sinner like me, change my life, change my heart. And I'm so grateful, so ever grateful for that, Lord. Thank you for the food that's come in today. We ask you to bless all those that prepared it. Thank you for all the clothing. There's so much out there, and everything's here in an abundance. Lord, it all comes from you, and we give you all the glory. We simply bring down what you provide, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Now use your servant, Reverend Sam, in a powerful way today. We thank you for this day and all that's in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I thank and praise the Lord for being here today and for another glorious day. And I thank and praise God for each and every one of y'all that are here today. I first give an honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to my Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that you let this word go forth. Heavenly Father, set Sam behind the cross, Heavenly Father, and allow your word to stand up in me. Bring forth your Holy Spirit to speak your word, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask that you sanctify and purify every heart and mind today. Heavenly Father, touch each and every soul today, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you strengthen this word in all of us and in me first, the messenger. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. I'm kind of surprised myself, but God always works it out. I had a message that I was telling Pastor Steve about last week about what I wanted to preach. And I wanted to preach on the Bible and the Word and what it means to us and the unity of Jesus Christ and the Word being one. And as I was laying on my prayer room floor at home, God gave me a message concerning Hezekiah and King Hezekiah in the 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, verse 1 through verse 19. And as I was reading that and I was looking at that, and I said, wow, you know, that not only is it a right now message, but it lines up with some of the political problems and the political mindset that we have today and many of the leaders that we have and even all of the miracles that God worked with Israel and through Hezekiah and did for him and did for the nation of Israel and spared them, and even the mindset that he had at the end of that verse. You know, Hezekiah was king of Judah for 29 years, and Hezekiah implemented extensive reform. He reformed Israel. He tore down all of the idol worship that they had, and then he restored Israel to its covenant with God, and he cleansed the temple because they were in idol worship, and he reinstated the observance of Passover. And he also was a great military leader, and he built the tunnel from the through solid rock, 1,770 feet tunnel that allowed the city of Jerusalem to have water when it was surrounded by the Syrians. And in the and in this particular chapter with Hezekiah, he was sick unto death. And that's in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, verse 1 through 19. He was sick unto death, and the Assyrians were encamped about Jerusalem, and they were about to overtake that nation. And not only you, and when you look at that in some of our own personal lives, because today we're looking at this message, but one of the things in this message that it covers, not only it covers so much space as far as it covers us with our personal lives today, where many of us need miracles in our lives. Many of us need deliverance in our lives. Many of us need healing in our lives. And many of us are seeking God for miracles in our lives. And this is the same way Hezekiah was. He needed a miracle from God. He needed a miracle in his health. He needed a miracle for his nation. And sort of the same way America is in the same situation today. We have a lot of more sickness and more people on medication than we've ever had. And we're in turmoil in so many different wars and circumstances that we are involved in. But if I would give this message a title, it would be Encouraged. Be encouraged. Because God is still on the throne, regardless of what's happening. And you're not going to be able to look to your nation for security. Each and every one of us are going to have to seek God, just like Hezekiah sought God, for your own personal survival, for your own personal encouragement, for your own personal deliverance, for your own personal healing, for your own families. And that's just the way it is, because when you look at this day and time, America has turned from God. We have leadership that's not seeking God. So individually, each and every one of us, and it's always been like that, but more so now, each and every one of us are going to have to seek God for ourselves. You know, I'm going to, and I think Pastor Bill may have read this to y'all at one time, but I'm going to present this to you again, because what it shows is that Satan uses the tool of discouragement on each and every one of us in many areas of our lives. And so this is the reason why I say today that the message is to be encouraged. And here's how this went. It was advertised that the devil was going to put his tools up for sale, each being marked with its sale price. They were a treacherous lot of implements: hatred, envy, jealousy, deceit, lying, pride, and so on. Laid apart from the rest of these tools looking well worn and priced very high. "What is the name of that of this tool?" asked one of the purchasers, pointing to it. "That is discouragement," treacherously replied the devil. "Why have you priced it so high?" "Because it's more useful to me than the others. And I can pry open and get inside a man's heart with that when I cannot get near him with the other tools. Once I get inside, I make him do what I choose. It is badly worn because I use it on almost everyone, since few people know it belongs to me." discouragement. So I say to you, and I declare to you today, to be encouraged. God wants you to be encouraged. We got to seek God more and more for encouragement. And we sometimes got to do like King David. We got to encourage ourselves. You know, because sometimes people around you are very discouraging. And sometimes Satan uses people to discourage us. And what happens is sometimes many of us in here faced with different issues of health problems, financial problems, family problems, all kinds of situations. I face a lot of that now, and a whole long list of problems that I face right now that I really won't go into at this time. But as we go through our daily lives, we have to realize that we need God. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." You know that song that Pastor Steve and Pastor Judy was singing today, "Our Hope in the Lord." We got to have our trust anchored in God. We got to have our hope anchored in God. Because without us being anchored in Him, it's a losing cause. It's a losing battle. And as you see in this day and time, many of the things that are coming upon the land, like all of your natural disasters are getting worse, and almost everything is getting worse. I never thought I'd actually live to see a lot of these things that are taking place and some of the laws that are being passed in this country and all of the things that are being presented that are abominations to God. And so we got to seek Him. So when we look at Hezekiah, he was faced with a lot of the same situations that we're faced with. It's, it's a right now message. And in the book of Hezekiah, chapter 20, verse 1, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet said, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Azar, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Now, he received that message from God. He had the Syrians encamped around the city, and he was on his deathbed at the same time. And, you know, sometimes we have health problems, and sometimes we have serious health problems. And on top of all those health problems, we have other conditions taking place. I remember my wife is here. She could testify to this. When I was very sick and thought I was going to die, and my liver was really, from being shot those years, and my health, it took a real bad turn. And I was terminated from my job and had no insurance. In other words, I was preparing myself to go home and be with the Lord because my physical body was in that bad a shape. And then all of a sudden, I'm terminated from my job. I have no income and I have no insurance. And I'm saying to myself, Lord, can it get any worse? And this is where Hezekiah was, you know. Everything, he was the king of Israel. Many people depended on him, and his family depended on him. And upon all of that, God sends the prophet Isaiah to tell him, hey, get your house in order. And so what Isaiah did is an example, should be to all of us. "For thou shalt die and not live." Verse 2. "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore." He cried out to the Lord in his time of trouble. David said that in the book of Psalms. He cried out to the Lord in the time of trouble. And we all must cry out to God in a time of trouble. But we should not wait till trouble comes to cry out to God and to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior. We should be in prayer every day. When you look at Hezekiah's life, when he's reminding God of how he had changed Israel's the nation and turned them back to God, turned them back to worshiping God, and had turned them back to honoring the Passover and all of that, he was reminding God that he had been upright. And that's what we got to be. We got to be in that position with God where we're upright. So when we do need a miracle, we can get a miracle. Because you, sometime, and all of us are guilty of this sometimes, sometimes we wait till the miracle is needed, then we start seeking the miracle. No, you got to build up a relationship with God. So when miracle time comes, you can get a miracle. You're just not going to get a miracle all of a sudden. God can, and sometimes he will. But a whole lot of times he won't. If you don't have a relationship with him, many times he won't. And on the other side of that is, those that have not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it's very slim to none that the miracle going to show up when you need it. So, in that said, Hezekiah is seeking God. He's crying out to God. And in verse 4, and it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, and the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. So Hezekiah is seeking God for that miracle, and God turns the prophet that he sent to him saying, go back and tell him that I'm healing him. Tell him that I'm giving him the miracle. Tell him that everything going to be all right. Tell him that you're blessed. You know, he was seeking God all these years. And when he needed a miracle, when he was on his deathbed, and he cried out to God after the prophet Isaiah came to him and said he was going to die, when Isaiah was leaving and going out of the king's castle and out into the courtyard, God came back to the prophet and told the prophet Isaiah. He said, tell my servant that I'm healing him, that I'm delivering him, that I'm blessing him, that he's going to live. You know, many of us need to hear that sometime. If it's not for yourself, for some of your family members sometime. You need for God to be able to hear your prayers sometime. And so God heard his prayers. And in verse 6 it says, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. You know, God is not only healing him and delivering him, but he's defending the city. He's defending the people. And because Hezekiah had a relationship with God, because Hezekiah sought God in the days when he didn't need a miracle, and he had that relationship, he was able to reach out to God in a time of trouble and to receive the miracle that he needed. He received a miracle from God, a great miracle. But not only did he receive a miracle for himself, but he received a miracle for those in his kingdom. He received a miracle from God, protecting this city from Assyria. At the time, Assyria was a very powerful, warring nation. They were defeating all of their enemies and conquering many of the other nations around them. And God protected Israel because of his relationship with King Hezekiah. And because King Hezekiah had restored all of the relationship of Judah with God, he cleansed the temple and he eliminated the idol worship. You know, many of us need to do some of these things in our own personal life. That's why today this message is, even though it was like 700 and some odd years before Christ, it's relevant today. We must sanctify and purify our own personal lives. And we can't depend on the leaders of this nation to sanctify and purify this nation. So we better have a personal relationship with God ourselves. Because if not, we're going to face some issues that we may not want to face personally. God is able to protect you even in the time of trouble when the whole nation is having trouble. You know, now we don't have any leaders like Hezekiah in office now. And so when you look at the situation, it's every man for himself and God for us all. And we better get a clear understanding of that and for our families. And so we go on to verse 7. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took the lump and laid it upon the boil, and he recover. Now, in verse 7, that was an act of faith. We know that God sometimes gives us an act of faith to do. And in many times in the Bible, an act of faith shows your obedience. And when you show God your obedience and your willingness to obey, he will perform the miracles that you need. He will perform the blessings that you need. He will perform the deliverance that you need. Here, the act of faith that they committed to, that God instructed them, Hezekiah was healed. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? God had raised him up, and he's going to go into the house of the Lord the third day. You know, Jesus was raised on the third day. That's, you know, a lot of people say the Old Testament is not relevant with the New Testament. But there's always a type and shadow in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Always. We just have to look for it. A sign of the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day. Verse 9. And Isaiah said, thus this sign shall thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered it, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down in the dial of Azar. Now, we're looking at, this is a sundial. And Hezekiah is wanting a sign from God that God is going to do this miracle and protect the city and heal him and give him these 15 extra years to his life. And as he's seeking Isaiah, talking to him concerning this, how will I know? You know, Isaiah came and told him this, but he wants some proof. He wants to be able to have some type of tangible proof that this is going to happen, that God is going to do this. You know, his situation is that serious. You know, he's on his deathbed and his whole nation is getting ready to be conquered. So Isaiah is telling him that, and he said, you know, the sundial, this and that, and they're having this discussion. But Isaiah said, okay, God is the sun is going to go down, and God is going to bring the sun back up after it goes down. This is what he's saying here. And this is what God did. God brought the sun back up after it went down. You know, scientists and NASA has discovered that there's one day missing in the calendar. I mean, one day missing in the solar system. And that day was this day that half a day with King Hezekiah and that half a day with Joshua when God made the moon and the sun stand still till Joshua got finished fighting in the 10th chapter of the book of Joshua. You know, I was looking at this and I was understanding some of the things that I've been running through my mind over the years, that mankind is so important to God that he will supersede scientific law to bless you. Here he supersedes scientific law to show Hezekiah that he's going to commit miracles for him and bless him. You know, God loves us that much. He loves us that much that he will actually supersede his own scientific laws to show you that he loves you that much. When he parted the Red Sea and he parted the Jordan River for Elijah and they walked across on dry land, even Joshua walked across the Jordan River on dry land. And it said in a time and a season when the Jordan River banks was overflowed, you know, what we have to understand is once we really get into these scriptures and see the magnitude of God's love for mankind, it can't be denied. You cannot deny God's love for mankind when you look at the miracles that took place in the Bible, in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, that shows God's love for mankind. Many times we miss the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and went through all that pain and suffering for us to receive salvation. And that's the most important miracle of all, is salvation. That there's no other miracle more important than that. But all these other miracles in the Bible just shows us how much love God has for us. If you have a misunderstanding of how much God loved us to give his only begotten son that we may have eternal life, then we have to look at the whole story of the Bible and see that God loves us from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation. He loves us. And we have to develop that relationship with God. In closing, I want to say that, you know, Hezekiah, even with all of this, and I'm not going to read all this to you, but it's to verse 19, chapter 20. Even with all of these miracles and all of these blessings and all of this deliverance, Hezekiah got beside himself and he showed the king, men of Babylon, all the wealth and riches that God had blessed him with. And as he was in doing so, God had Isaiah speak to him again. And behold, and in verse 17, behold, the day come that all that is in thine house and that which thy father have laid upon in store unto thee this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Now, he gets into folly. You know, after all the miracle, how many of us are like that? Once God blesses you and you got the decent job and the income's all right and you may have the car and the apartment, a house or dwelling place and, you know, some furniture, some of the things, the goals that you've set for yourself and that you've been praying about or that you've been hoping for, God has allowed you to reach some of them. And then all of a sudden, you're like, okay, Lord, I got it from here. You know, I can handle it from here. I don't really need your help right now. I'll check back with you a little later. You know, I'll get back with you. You know, when I need you. You know, God does not want to be your ATM machine. You know, really. And I'm gonna be honest with you. He's not going to be. He's either going to be Lord of your life, or he's not going to be Lord at all. It's that simple. And many of us got to come to that understanding, because once God, and this is the reason why it's a process. God allows many of us to go through so many different trials and tribulations and circumstances and situations that you will come to the understanding and knowledge and saving grace that he's God. And besides him, there is no other God. And once you go through enough trials and tribulations, you'll get that understanding, so that when he does bless you, you'll still know he's God, and that he still has to be Lord of your life. And so Hezekiah was making this folly and this mistake. And even after all of that, when the prophet Isaiah spoke to him, in verse 19 he says, "Then says Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken." And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? In other words, Hezekiah is concerned about what's going on in the nation of Judah during his time and living. He's not concerned about all of this stuff that's going to be destroyed after he's gone. So he's not concerned about the rest of the people and their future. He's only concerned about himself. All the things that God has done for him, all the blessings that God has done for him, all the miracles God has done, all the protection that God has done, how he sought God and seen those miracles, he gets into this state of mind. And when I was looking at this and reading it, and I was thinking, you know, America is in the same state of mind right now. We've got a lot of leadership in this country right now. They care about therefore and no more, you know, and they are in the state of mind, as long as everything is all right while I'm in office and while I'm alive, fine. I'm not worried about my children, my grandchildren, and my grandchildren's children. And, you know, that's a sad state of mind to be in when America has been blessed as great as it has and has become one of the greatest nations to ever be in existence, and more technologically advanced than almost any nation. You know, there's no place on earth where you can come from nothing and be something like you can in America. People, when I spend time in, and I'm going to close, when I spend time in New York, me and my wife, we see many people that come to this nation for medication because in their nation, they can't get the medication to keep them alive. I met many people in Harlem, New York, that were there with incurable diseases just for the medication. People risk their lives to come to this nation. Many of them die trying to get here. And yet we take it for granted. And I'd just like to say to each and every one today, we got to understand that we need a relationship with the Lord, and that we need not take that relationship for granted. We need to stop. If you are taking God for granted, you need to stop it. And in closing, I would just like to say I thank and praise everyone for being here today. I thank and praise God for allowing you to be here. I thank and praise the First Methodist Church of Akron for allowing us into their facility. And thank and praise God. Amen. You're dismissed.